Ladies and gentlemen, good day and welcome to Metro Brands Limited Q4 FY23 earnings conference call hosted by Nuvama Wealth. As a reminder, all participant lines will be in the listen-only mode, and there will be an opportunity for you to ask questions after the presentation concludes. Should you need assistance during this conference call, please signal an operator by pressing star then zero on your touchtone phone. Please note that this conference is being recorded. I now hand the conference over to Mr. Kapil Jagasia from Nuvama Wealth. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Thank you, Neeraj. Good afternoon, everyone. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth Research, I welcome you all to Metro Brands Q4 and FY23 earnings conference call. From the management today, we have with us Mr. Rafique Malik, Chairman, Ms. Farah Malik Bhanji, Managing Director, Mr. Nissan Joseph, Chief Executive Officer, Mr. Kaushal Parekh, Chief Financial Officer, and Ms. Alisha Rafique Malik, President, E-commerce and CRM. Without taking any further time, I would now like to hand over the call to Mr. Nissan for his opening comments. Thank you, and over to you, sir.
Sir, can you hear us?
Good afternoon, and thank you for joining our Q4 FY 2023 earnings call. We've closed the year crossing many historic milestones for Metro Brands. As mentioned in our filings, on a standalone basis, our annual performance, we surpassed 2,000 crores for the year, which was a 56% gain over the previous year, with an annual PAT of 18.2%, which is our highest PAT on record and has translated to our highest EBITDA of 33.2%. We also opened a record 115 net new stores. This is net of 29 closed and 13 relocated stores, showing that the investments we have made in strengthening our business development and store construction teams are paying off. We added another 10 new cities to our locations in Q4, bringing the total number of cities that we are now present in to 174. This growth has been between all our concepts, including three new FitFlop stores, a brand we added in January of 2022. The quality of the growth is reflected in our improvements in sales per square foot. We're also pleased to see a 48% growth in our e-commerce division, despite the reopening and growth of our brick-and-mortar stores post-COVID. For FY 2023, we see our strategy of premiumization working well for us as sales of products over 3,000 rupees rose from 40% in the previous year to 44% this year. As I mentioned in our previous call with regards to Fila, we anticipate the cleanup of inventory, the rationalization of distribution points, stabilization of team and processes, and the reset of products to take most of the first half of this fiscal year. We will also be demerging Fila from Cravatex Brands to better leverage costs and operational synergies. We continue to remain excited and optimistic for the future of Fila in India. As you may or may not have heard, the footwear industry is gonna come under the purview of the Bureau of Indian Standards, or BIS, as it's commonly known, beginning July 1st. As seen in other adjacent industries, we anticipate potential supply chain disruptions, and to mitigate this, we have forward-bought inventory. Consequently, we expect our inventory levels to be slightly elevated through H1 of FY 2024. Looking forward, we do anticipate a smoothing of business over the next 4 months as we offset the fluctuations caused by pent-up demand, wardrobe refreshes, and office reopenings from last year, but we remain confident in our ability to deliver our continued guidance of gross margins in the 55%-50% range, EBITDA in the 30% range, and PAT north of 15% annually. Before I turn it over to Kaushal, I would like to reiterate 2 points. Number one, that our strategic objectives of premiumization and new store growth while maintaining gross margins are on track. Secondly, we believe the tailwinds for the Indian economy still very much in line with our expectations. These tailwinds include the growth of the middle class segment, the vibrancy of tier 1 and 2 cities, and the continued affinity for branded premium products with the consumer. With that, I will hand it over to Kaushal Parekh, our CFO, to add more color to our performance.
Thank you, Nissan. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Q4 earnings call of Metro Brands Limited. FY23.
Ladies and gentlemen, please stay connected. The line for the management dropped. Participants, please stay connected while we rejoin the management back to the call. Ladies and gentlemen, thank you for your patience. We have the line for the management reconnected. So you may go ahead.
Sure, thank you. Sorry for this inconvenience. Good afternoon, everyone, and welcome to Q4 earnings call of Metro Brands Limited. FY23 has been a momentous year for MBL. In the last financial year, we recorded our best ever revenues, gross margins, EBITDA and PAT. In terms of store openings, we opened 115 net new stores, which again is our highest in any single financial year. I am also happy to inform you that high growth momentum in our e-commerce business is continuing, and we registered 48% growth in e-commerce sales in FY23. Let me now take you through quarterly standalone performance. In Q4 FY23, on a Y-on-Y basis, our revenue was up by 30%, our EBITDA was up by 19%, and PAT was up by 21%. The slight moderation in profit margins compared to Q4 FY23 that you see is primarily due to normalization of certain expenses like marketing, travel, etc. as compared to the last comparable quarter. Q4 FY22, as you all know, was impacted by COVID-19 third wave, where we had put complete freeze on most of the discretionary expenses. Moving on, as you are aware, we have successfully completed acquisition of CBL in Q3 FY23. Hence, the consolidated result for Q4 and full year FY23 includes 3 and 4 months performance of Cravatex Brands Limited, respectively. Slide 14 of our investor presentation provides detailed breakup of consolidated performance on a standalone as well as on a consolidated basis, separately listing numbers from CBL for the quarter. Let me now start with a quick snapshot of consolidated financial performance for MBL. In FY23, our revenue was up by 58%. Our gross margin was steady at 58.1%. And we delivered EBITDA and PAT of 32 and 17.2% respectively. When we see it for Q4 FY23 at a consolidated level, our revenue was up by 35%. We delivered gross margins of 56%, EBITDA of 26.5% and PAT of 12.6%. As highlighted in our slide 14 of our investor presentation, our consolidated PAT includes loss of rupees 14 crores on account of CBL consolidation. As we discussed in our last investor call, we have started various initiatives to integrate and streamline overall operations of CBL. These initiatives we feel should help us in turning around the overall operations of CBL, and consequently we expect moderation of losses from CBL starting from H2 FY24 onwards. With this, I'll conclude and hand it over to commence our Q&A session.
Thank you very much. We will now begin the question and answer session. Anyone who wishes to ask a question may press star and one on their touchtone telephone. If you wish to remove yourself from the question queue, you may press star and two. Participants are requested to use handsets while asking a question. Ladies and gentlemen, we will wait for a moment while the question queue assembles. Participants, you may press star and one to ask a question. The first question is from the line of Gaurav Jogani from Axis Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on a great year for FY23. My first question is with regards to, you know, the comment on the slowdown that we have given. Now, wanted a clarification on this, whether it was more to do with the context of the pent-up demand that we have seen in the last year and because of which we are calling a relative slowdown, or is it that the demand momentum is decelerating on a QOQ basis also from Q4 to Q1?
Thank you, Gaurav. We're not seeing a slowdown in terms of real sales. What we're seeing is a comparative number normalizing. And what I mean by that is if you look at the cadence of business over a 12-month cycle, where the sales are dispersed somewhere in the 8%-12% range per month, that's not what we saw last year. January was COVID impacted. In February, we were coming out of COVID, and March, we finally started getting into a beat, and then April was also much stronger than our normal Aprils are. So it's really a normalization of the cadence of business as opposed to a slowdown. When you look at our metrics of sales per square foot, when you look at the metrics of how we do from a volume perspective per store, all of those metrics are still very sound, including the metric on what we're selling at a premium level.
Sure. So, Dishan, if you can help us, what would be kind of a three or four-year CAGR number if we were to compare the current quarter versus Q4 FY20?
Well, our CAGR number annually, Gaurav, we guide to 18% plus, which is a number we've achieved for many, many years pre-COVID. And I think we're confident that we would be able to hit that number very consistently as a business. So going forward, we see no risk to that growth number going forward. And in FY23 also, if you add that three-year CAGR, it does come out to about 18%.
Sorry, you said 15 or 18? I'm sorry.
18, sorry. If I said 15, I misspoke. I meant 18.
18, okay.
CAGR.
Okay, sure. My next question is with regards to this BIS implementation, which is expected to happen from July 1. What kind of benefits A, it can have for the organized segment players, and B, what kind of disruptions are you expecting? Because what we understand is that for the vendors, it's just a licensing thing, and for the unorganized players who are having revenues below 50 crores, they are not mandated under this. So if you can explain how this regulation change impact can impact us.
Sure. So that is correct. There are some regulations that we might help some smaller cottage industries and what have you. Right now, where we stand, Gaurav, is we don't have full visibility of the entire ramifications of BIS. We have bits and pieces of it. Fundamentally, we support any initiative by the center to bring production to a professional level to ensure consumers are getting what they deserve. So we encourage and we support the initiative. What we don't know is the moving parts that are still left fully identified for our business. As far as unorganized to organized, all of these things as they happen makes business get more into the organized frame as opposed to, being on the looser frame. So we don't see it being impactful necessarily from a business standpoint, but what we do see it as being disruptive initially simply because when most regulations are resolved, we do see disruption to the supply chain. We also believe that imports will be impacted because of this, because this goes into effect July 1st, and that means there could be supply chain issues, which is why we have mitigated against it by ensuring that we forward bought inventory to maintain a smooth flow of goods.
That's helpful. And if I can just one more question, in terms of the matrix, in terms of the sales of 3,000 and above rupee products, so that is now reached around 44%. And if I accumulate this with 1,500 and above, it's approximately 85 or 86%. How much more room do we have here, to increase the scope of premiumization for year on? And also given the fact that, our contribution from more brands is also at the upper end at around 74-75%. So here on, what are the incremental tailwinds do you see to the margins going ahead?
So it's not tailwinds to the margin as much as I would say that the opportunity for us to serve the Indian consumer is immense, right? We are only in 174 cities, number one, out of the potential of probably 300 to 400 cities. That's number one. Number two, we see a growing middle class that as the incomes rise, so do the aspirations and they aspire for premium products. So we see a good runway of growth in this channel in terms of the total number of units that we can sell there, not necessarily by moving more people or distorting more people into that bracket necessarily, but definitely selling more in that bracket in total.
Sure. Thanks. And that's all for me, sir.
Thanks, Gaurav.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Kapil Jagasia from Nuvama Wealth. Please go ahead.
Congratulations on a good set of numbers, sir, especially on the top line front. So my first question is, assuming ASP of 1450, volume numbers come at around 1.47 crore pairs, and I know that this number would have 6 months of Cravatex numbers as well, but would my understanding be correct in this, that volume growth would have been 40% over the last 1 year if I apply the similar exercise to FY22?
So, you know, the number that you said in terms of total volume for the year, that's correct. It's around 1.45 crore pairs a year. So that's correct. In terms of volume growth, see, overall ASP growth, if you see, including accessories, has been somewhere around 3-odd%. If we consider only footwear, then the ASP growth has been somewhere around 7-8%.
Okay, and if you can just help us with the trends, like on the volume and realization also, you know, what we can look at in FY24 and also beyond that, that would be helpful.
So ASP growth, if you see on a longer term basis, Kapil, has been in and around inflation, has been around 5% odd. So, you know, we expect it to be around similar range. And basis that, you can sort of calculate, you know, balance growth would come in from addition of stores, annulation impact, and the overall like-to-like growth that comes in.
That is helpful. My next question is like one of your competitors who's in mass market segment, it has reduced prices this quarter. So just drawing correlation with your Walkway brand, which is into economy segment, would we be also be seeing price cuts in this segment given inflation is slowing down now?
You know what? We were fortunate we did not have to take the price increases. Previously, I think we guided about a year ago that we were concerned that there would be raw material hikes, so we forward bought inventory at that point too. Consequently, we did not have to react and raise prices as and when raw materials rose. And subsequently, we don't see the need for lowering prices in our Walkway business currently either.
Okay. And just a last question from my side. This would be on Philatex. So how have the new stores performed so far, and what is the outlook for this brand expansion for FY24, and also the store metrics, if you can help us with for this brand as compared to other brands?
Yeah, so Kapil, first of all, we've been in the process of rationalizing our distribution points, which included actually closing a lot of the Fila stores that we have currently operational, right? Because that's not where we want to see the brand grow. So right now, the Fila metrics for stores are not something that we're saying this is the metric for the new store, right? So we see that going forward, once we reposition the brand and clean out inventory, that's when we will start investing in our new store fit-outs. Having said that, we see no reason to believe that the metrics of Fila will not match our Metro brand's overall metrics in terms of sales per square foot, productivity, and the rest of the metrics.
Sure, sir. That helps. I'll join back in the question for the questions. Thank you, sir.
Thanks, Kapil.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ali Asgar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you so much for the opportunity. I have a couple of questions. So, one is follow-up on Fila. So, if you have...
Ali, sorry to interrupt you. Can I request you to speak through the handset?
Okay, is this better?
Slightly.
Okay. So, just first question on Fila. So, if you have crystallized your strategy, you know, wanted to understand we are currently on 25 stores, so what is the scale we should see? in the next 3 to 5 years? And secondly, you know, given that global footwear brands have very high share of non-footwear and digital sales, so, you know, what are the categories, you know, channels we are looking to target beyond, you know, the conventional footwear and, you know, conventional store-driven growth? Thank you.
So when you look at the store opportunity size, first of all, I think the reason we feel excited about Fila is it plays well to different genres of consumers. It plays well to sports, it plays well to music, it plays well to street lifestyle. So that appeal is very broad appeal, and we believe we can capitalize on that. To give you a directional point of view, the competitors for Fila today in India have anywhere between 300 and 500 monobrand stores. The additional help that we have being Metro Brands is we have an additional 400 distribution points today as we speak on our multi-branded side. So the ability for us to put Fila and penetrate the Indian market is high. And so we feel very confident that we don't see any reason why we shouldn't be playing in line with the rest of the field in the next 3 to 5 years. Right? So that was your first question. The second question, I believe, was, Ali, what was your second question?
Second question was on, you know, the non-footwear and digital channels, which, you know, have been very key factor of growth for other peers in the footwear.
Yeah. So let me tackle the digital channels first. You know, as you know, our e-commerce business has grown leaps and bounds. And amazingly, it continues to grow very strongly, despite the fact we opened up our brick and mortars, and you saw the performance of our brick and mortar stores, right? So we are digitally capable and enabled to ensure that Fila gets its fair presence in the digital space. So that's number one. As far as non-footwear goes, you know, we have sold a lot of accessory items in our stores, and, you know, we will be selling Fila apparel as well. The good news when you work with a global brand is you're able to get your hands held a little bit through that journey. So I think it's a great progression for us to get into categories that are adjacencies to footwear, but we will always be a footwear-focused, footwear-led company. But from time to time, there will be adjacencies that we have to go into, and we're quite excited about the opportunity of entering some of those spaces.
This is very useful. Sorry, I just missed. You mentioned some 300 plus mono brands. Were you referring to Fila?
No, I was referring to similar brands in that space,
okay.
Ali. Today in the Indian market, they have anywhere between 300 to 500 stores. I'm just giving a directional point of view, not saying that is or not, that is not what Fila will be, right?
Got it. And second and last question is on your margin. So, you know, I mean, you've been very clear in communicating your gross margin and EBITDA margin guidance. And we have seen some normalization in this, quarter. Is this attributed to the increase in third-party, sales as well as, you know, normalization of the discount that we run during USS? And we are still at, the higher end of that margin bracket, you know. So we should see further rebates from here in 2024-25?
So, you know, in the retail business, things always have a little bit up, a little bit down. And in Q4, as you rightly mentioned, the biggest influencer of that margin number is the end of season sale. So if you were compared to Q4 of last year, you will see it's very much in line with that. And it's typical for this quarter. What we want to do is manage our business and, you know, give you the outlook on an annual basis. In that area, we continue to feel strongly that we can achieve our 55 to 57% margins that we've guided to, Ali, and all the drop downs that come from it.
Understood. Got it. This is very helpful. Thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Chirag Gloria from ValueQuest Investment Advisors. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thank you for the opportunity and congratulations on great set of numbers. So my first question was on this cautionary commentary on, you know, relative demand, which we have seen very good pent up, etc. So what exactly, you know, you are trying to say? Is it to do with revenue metrics being, normalizing going ahead, or it is to do with profitability? So just trying to understand that ADS or say sales per square foot of 19,500 might normalize a bit, or a margin which is at a higher band, you expect it to normalize because of, you know, higher other expense. So if you can just help us understand what exactly, you know, you're trying to say.
So Chirag, you know, as Nissan also explained, the comment, you know, if we compare us sales with last quarter, it is more or less in line. What we were referring to was between October 21 to June 22, we saw various openings post-COVID, right? And that is where we saw significant quantum of pent-up demand leading to very strong numbers in Q3, Q4, and Q1 of this financial year. What we are referring to is now when you, for the current year, when we compare numbers to those numbers, we see moderation of sales growth. Obviously, you know, because it is back, the numbers that we're comparing with were significantly high on account of pent-up demand that we saw during that period. Otherwise, if we compare it on a normal steady-state basis, we see strong customer traction and we see strong demand metrics being played out. In terms of our profitability metrics, we are sticking to the numbers and guidance we have guided earlier. Gross margins broadly in the range of 55 to 57%, EBITDA broadly in that range of 30 to 33%, and PAT broadly in the range of 15 to 17%. All the numbers that I'm referring to are for standalone performance. I've already you know, clarified on what we expect for CBL to come through.
Yeah, very, very clear. Just second question to this. In terms of store addition going ahead, if you would like to give some comments there. And on top of it, if I look at store addition this year, Metro and Ochi store addition has been, you know, far, far ahead compared to, say, Crocs, etc. And even if I look at last 3-4 years performance, this has been the highest store addition for Metro and Ochi. So going ahead, do you see similar kind of mix between store addition, or we should expect something else?
So we have updated our guidance, Chirag. You know, last year we opened 115 net new stores. We have guided for opening of 200 stores in next two financial years. So broadly, you can say about 100 store in a year is what we are targeting to open in next two financial years. Your comment on, you know, format-wise store openings, you are absolutely right, and I think we referred this in our last investor call. You know, during COVID, we had worked on our overall structure wherein we created an SBU structure for all our brand formats. And I think that we are seeing playing out very well now with all the brands. Now growth is not led by any particular format or a brand. We are seeing growth all across all the five brands that we have listed. So we feel similar traction to go to continue going forward. Crocs, we have added about 15 odd stores in last year, slightly lower than the overall average, but we don't see anything specific there. We should be back on track with the normal store additions that you've otherwise seen for Crocs over last 3-4 years.
And just lastly, what kind of investments you are looking to do behind Cravatex in 2024? Some ballpark number? Yeah, just trying to understand what kind of investments you are going to do towards Cravatex. If you would like to call out something, like Q4, we saw around 10 crore kind of, you know, investment behind Cravatex. So will it be in the similar ballpark, or, I mean, some qualitative comment there?
So Chirag, you know, once the detailed financials are out, you will see we have invested around 145 crores in terms in form of ICDs in CBL. This includes you know, initial 105 crores which was used to pay off the debt that had come that was part of that 202 consideration that we paid for the brand. So over and above that, we have seen investment of around 35 odd crores in Cravatex, which is primarily on account of cash flow mismatches that we have seen. Based on all the corrective actions and initiatives that we have initiated, we feel we will see the company turning around slowly, and we should be able to moderate our losses from H2 FY24 onwards. So we'll see this number come down, and hopefully in FY25 is when we feel the company should be able to fund its own growth plans.
Okay, got it. Thank you and all the best.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Nihal Jham from Nuvama. Please go ahead. Nihal, may I request you to unmute your line from your side and go ahead with the question, please?
Am I audible?
Yes.
Thanks so much. Good evening to the management. So two questions from my side. First is that if we compare our share of stores in Tier 2 and 3 cities, there has been a significant increase. Wanted to understand what is the difference in productivity versus, say, Metro T1 versus these two cities. And maybe after that, I'll just ask a follow-up question.
Okay. So there's definitely a difference in terms of sales per square foot and top-line productivity. However, one of the things we also know is that these stores, from a profitability standpoint, are on par with the rest of the business. And that is primarily because the rentals in these stores, Neha, are cheaper. And as you know, in retail, your first two costs are the cost of goods and the cost of rental for space, right? So that tends to normalize the profitability of these stores. From all other senses, we expect them to be meet our metrics of, you know, being profitable from day one, being cash neutral within 2 years, and hitting our being accretive to our numbers in total.
Thanks, Nathan. And then the follow-up was that, say, despite the lower productivity, if I compare our revenue per square feet versus FY19, there is a good 3% CAGR. Would it be fair to say that for the existing stores in Metro and Tier 1 cities, there would be have been a high single-digit growth in productivity, which would have partially been offset by the mix of Tier 2 and 3 cities?
No, the growth comes across our chain of stores, across our fleet of stores, right? So we don't see... You know, there's always anomalies of stores here and stores there in both, in all the tiers of performing. But we don't see a trend that says that it is a tier 3 or a tier 2 city that is slowing down versus a tier 1 or doing worse than a tier 1. We don't see that in our business, Neil. We see business pretty much staying very stable for most of it. There was a little bit of a blip up for tier 3 cities and tier 2 cities during COVID. There was not much of a blip in general, but there was a little bit of a blip, primarily because a lot of people had, you know, moved, offices were closed, you could work from home, and a lot of them moved back to their hometowns. But apart from that, we are not seeing any blip or demand erosion specifically coming from, we're not seeing any demand erosion to begin with, but we're not seeing any disproportionate demand trends out of the Tier 2 and Tier 3 cities.
That is helpful. So the second question was on the quality control order, the regulation change that you highlighted. While you said there's limited clarity, at least what we understand that there would be a requirement of a lot of testing. I don't know what is the kind of revenue threshold a big part of our 250 vendors are at, but in case there is a requirement for implementation, are we going to assist to see to it that this is smoothened out, or this is totally a prerogative and we are hoping in 6 months they get the time till we have the inventory with us?
Well, obviously we are hoping that we have time to come to the norms, to follow through on the norms expected. But from a cost perspective, you know, it's minuscule, the cost of a test to get certified, right? That is not the core issue. The core issue is just having clarity on what needs to be tested. Do understand that there are numerous regulations around the world, and we are an export country, that require all kinds of testing to be done. So it's not like testing is new to our environment. And if you're under 50 crores and you're not an export house, you would be exempt anyway from our understanding of the BIS rules. So we don't see this being impactful. And, you know, we are collaborating with our vendors to walk them through this journey where we feel they may not have the wherewithal or the capacity to do it. And if that includes pointing them towards or forming testing centers, we're doing all of that because we've always been partners with our vendors in the supply chain.
So could I just ask one more question? I'll go ahead on that. That versus last year till now, walkway has been one format which has seen stable expansion, because we've always maintained that that is still something we are trying to figure out. Anything over the last 1 year which makes us more confident, or still a work in progress format?
Now, we had shared that we were going to focus on the South and the West, and the new store openings that we've done in Walkway that meet the parameters of how we wanted to test that store are performing relatively well. You have to understand that's a totally different metric game than the prime the premium business that we run in our Metro, Mochi, and our Croc stores, right? So in its space, we feel quite good about what it's doing.
Fair enough. Thank you so much, Abhishek.
Thanks, Neil.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Alok Shah from Ambit Capital. Please go ahead.
Yeah, hi. Good evening, and thanks for the opportunity. Some part of the question could be a follow-on because partly it's been asked. The first is on the city presence potential for Crocs. So Crocs is currently number 89 cities, whereas Metro is around 150 cities. So do you think Crocs can travel to all those 150 cities where Metro is currently present?
Okay, so today the answer is no, but you know, you have to remember the country we are fortunate to live in. It's a country that is growing. It's a country where cities are getting vibrant and energetic enough to support different types of product. It also is a very well-connected consumer, and they're getting their cues digitally from global influences. All of this creates demand for that kind of product. So long-term, you know, while Metro will always probably be Metro shoes will probably be quite a few more cities ahead of Crocs. We don't believe that Crocs has reached its plateau in the number of cities it can go to today.
Okay, perfect, perfect. This is helpful. Secondly is, in terms of the Fila integration and scale-up from there on, can you explain us what sort of initiatives, say maybe a team level or capability build-up, that Metro has already done, and what incrementally Metro will need to do, you know, for the Fila scale-up from here on?
Yeah, so we have hired a team of management for Fila. It's run separately by a head of Fila business. We also have taken that entire sports business. As you know, it comes with Proline as well. And we've appointed Alicia Malik as president of our sports division. So we are distorting talent and resources to ensure that this business has all the support and the bandwidth needed to position and capitalize and unlock the opportunity that presents itself.
Okay, perfect. So the team is already in place, if I got it right.
Right, and it's an evolution, right? So because right now we're already working on Spring-Summer 23, so we have to get that Spring-Summer 24, so we have to get that team in place. And as the business grows, you know, we definitely are not hesitant in any way, shape, or form to add the resources it requires.
Perfect, perfect.
But again, that's no different than our Metro business, right? We do the same for our Metro business. We've done the same for Crocs. We're doing the same for FitFlop. So it's just we have a process where we're able to distort investments and attention to ensure that brands take off.
Got it. And, you know, just a follow-up to this, you know, from a success perspective, you know, from a team-building perspective, from a success of the Fila scale-up, who would be the key managerial position? Would it be merchandiser? Would it be, so what would that key position be?
Yeah, so, you know, in a world of branded product, product is king, right? And that's where it starts, because that's what the consumer is looking for, their experience, the consumer experience and the interaction with the product, the relevance and meaningfulness of the product is absolutely critical. So that's number one. You know, having said that, though, one of our additional strengths as Metro and Mochi has always been our people that we have on the sales floor. And they're focused on customer service and their willingness to go the extra mile to please the customer. I think that completes the package. So you have great product and you have great store staff. You now have a winning strategy. And of course, you know, I don't want to in any way ignore marketing that goes with it. You have to let the world know. And in today's world, you have to be very digitally savvy and be able to connect with your consumers 24/7 in all points of India.
Perfect, perfect. This is really helpful. And lastly, just a follow-on to what Nihal asked on the BIS regulation. So just wanted to check, and this could be more theoretical, but if assuming Metro were to you know, approach new set of vendors because of this norms, etc., theoretically, the you know, the whole overall theory of constraints that you know Metro deploys in terms of, you know, to ensure the supply is seamless, how easy would it be to implement the theory of constraint along with the new sort of vendor, or it is pretty easy to replicate because this is something that you've been doing for many years now?
So, you know, one, we don't see immediately the need for any new vendors. But having said that, though, you know, we have 250 vendors in our database, and we constantly are adding or deleting, not deleting, but maybe we're not doing as much business with vendors. So, you know, the vendor base is an evolving, dynamic group of our business, and it's not... TOC is designed to bring them on and take them off just as easily and seamlessly. So we don't see that in any way a constraint or an added help.
Perfect. Thank you. This is very helpful. Thank you very much.
Thanks, Alok.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Akshay Thakur from Pico Capital. Please go ahead.
Thank you for the opportunity. My question is again on Fila. Will the supply chain be integrated for Fila? My question is majorly in context to the quality aspect of the product. And one more question on same. Any plans on the average store size for Fila?
Akshay, when you say integrated, what do you mean by the word integrated?
About the vendors. Who will be the vendor, and will there be any change in the quality of the product, or all such things?
So, you know, we have to adhere to the quality standards, the global quality standards, regardless of what vendors we choose or don't choose. We will buy products, some products from other vendors globally that Fila provides also. So, you know, it's a matter of we have clear directions and clear guidelines that we have to follow. Integrating them into our system is not that hard because, you know, we're constantly bringing in and taking vendors out. So that is not an issue either. So it's... We don't see that in any way of being, you know, a challenge there.
Okay, and on the store size for Fila, any plans on that?
Yeah, so, you know, a typical sports store brand runs between, you know, anywhere between 15 to 2,500 square feet, right? And some are bigger and some are a little bit smaller, depending on your locales and geographies and the number of categories you may or may not want to do in a certain geography. So there's no reason that we believe that Fila will be any different. And globally, we see that's true of most Fila stores globally as well. So the global footprint, the global plan, the template for stores matches the Indian template. So we don't see any dissonance there either.
Okay. One more question, if I could just ask. Do you have any plans to introduce any innovative product brands like All Birds from US, any sustainable, eco-friendly product?
We have an amazingly innovative brand called Metro. We have another one called Mochi. We have another one called Da Vinci and Fontini, right? No. Listen, what we try to do is ensure that we are responding to a consumer's needs. And we believe that we have strong brand equity in our brand in India. From time to time, if there's a unique offering from an outside brand that we don't believe we can fulfill and we believe will enhance the consumer journey, then we bring it in. Otherwise, you know, our focus is not whether we bring in a brand or not. Our focus is, are we taking care of a consumer's need and ensuring that they have a great consumer journey in our stores?
But do you have any opinion on whether such products have any market in India, eco-friendly products?
Well, we've seen that the consumer is becoming extremely savvy and sensible about sustainability. Equally, what we've seen is they see it as a hygiene factor. They expect us to be, you know, from a standpoint of sustainability to be responsible. They expect us to take that ownership, and they will trust that we will do it. I'm also sure if we don't do it, they will not like it much. But as far as saying, I'm going to choose you because you are sustainable, you know, that's not the voice they have. I'm going to choose you because I trust you will be sustainable.
Oh, okay. Thank you. Thank you so much. That was very helpful.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Manish Poddar from Motilal Oswal. Please go ahead.
Hi, congrats on the numbers. Just two questions. Nishant, so one is you mentioned earlier that you remove Fila from the Cravatex subsidiary. So just can you elaborate, what are the benefits and what do you intend to do?
Manish, yes, we took approval for demerging Fila from CBL. We are in process of filing the application. Fila, obviously, it's as Nishant mentioned, it's predominantly footwear and it is within our domain. And what we feel, once it comes within MBL overall ecosystem, we would be able to synergize and take benefit of all operations efficiency much better. So that's the logic for demerging Fila from CBL to MBL.
Can you just elaborate, Mr. Kushal? So just trying to understand, are there any tax subsidy, tax or depreciation advantage, or just from common association of cost and stuff like that?
So Manish, we will be taking advice from our tax advisors in terms of all the benefits that would flow through post-demergers. Nothing specific that we have at this point in time to inform.
Okay. And just the second one. So in the slide deck of this repeat customers, repeat sales of members to loyalty programs. So where does this number settle? When right now you're at 55%. Just, if you can, probably two parts. One is this number different across the three formats, Metro, Mochi and Crocs, material difference? And where does this number is very good in my view, but where does this number settle?
So, first of all, we don't divulge breakout numbers like that. I mean, we have a competitive business, as you can imagine, Manish. But we're quite pleased with the number. It's a double-edged sword, right? If you have a high number of repeat customers, it means you're not acquiring enough new customers. So it's a balance between the two as we look at that number. We're comfortable with the range that it is. Our focus is not to get that number to a certain point. Our focus is to ensure that we are communicating with the customers in a relevant way to increase the RFM, as you know, recency, frequency, and monetization, in the best way possible. So that's number one. Number two, we also place a big importance on this because this gives us our NPS scores. When they finish the journey, they're able to give us ratings on their experience, and we're constantly able to evaluate how we're performing in the eyes of the customer. We also know that these are opportunities that exist. We have 12 million plus customers in our database, which is a number to be enviable of, right? And we approach them differently. We have the highest loyalty points rewards that we give out in the Metro Mochi system, and the Crocs system is based on a gamification model. Again, we try to tailor the loyalty programs to the customer, and when that repeat business hits about 55-60%, we feel that that's a number we can move on with because we are getting good new customer bases in too.
And Manish, if you see on the slide, over the last 5 years, that number has been in that range of 50-56% odd. So it is in that range over the last 4 years.
Just one small part, would this be similar across categories? Let's say just three brands? In that ballpark? 50-56?
Broadly in and around that ballpark number.
Got it. Great. Thank you so much. All the best, guys.
Thanks, Manish.
Thank you.
Next question is from the line of Jasmine Solana from VT Capital Markets. Please go ahead.
Hi, am I audible?
Yes, Jasmine, you are.
Yes. Thank you for the question. Thank you for the opportunity. I just wanted to ask about our BioFoot stores. We have started sometime this quarter itself, and how are the stores doing, and do we plan on any scaling up of those stores?
Yeah. So we're very excited about BioFoot, right? The catering to India's foot wellness is a category we feel is vastly underserved in India. Having said that, we also know that we need to improve the awareness for consumers to know that they don't have to live with foot issues and problems. And, whether you have diabetes or whether you have plantar fasciitis, we believe that there are ways to mitigate or cure or at least aid your journey in life despite having those disabilities of sorts. So we are quite pleased on how it's gaining traction, but it is more of a neighborhood model, right? It is not a model of where you can advertise nationally and you hope you drive customers in. It is really driven also by trust in your doctors or your healthcare provider's recommendations. And what we're finding is it is continuing to grow because more and more healthcare physicians are A, learning about it, and B, recommending it, and then the consumers are coming and getting satisfied. We're also learning that it requires some unique brands in that store that caters to that clientele. So there's a lot of learning going on. We're quite pleased with it as we look down the road. You know, we are unfortunately a nation that is has a high percentage of diabetes. We have a lot of people that do have foot problems such as plantar fasciitis and a host of other issues. So we see that opportunity and that market size to be considerably large. But like everything we do, we grow with a lot of discipline. We grow with a lot of thought out and thoughtful steps.
Thank you so much for that. Another question would be on the Fila business. Now, Fila, what price points are we looking at playing and how much of the market share do we aim to capture with Fila?
Well, you know, we believe that the sweet spot for Fila could be somewhere between 5,000 to 8,000 rupee range, right? And that's the sweet spot. That doesn't mean there won't be products that we're selling that's over, 7,000 to 10,000 rupees as well. When you do a brand positioning, it's all about identifying what are the three or four categories you want to own and play in, and then playing to those categories with the right price point that makes sense for your brand.
And in terms of the market share?
You know, the market share is a journey, right? And I think the fortunate part for us being in the economy that we are, the market is rapidly growing. So even if you don't gain market share, you typically will have growth. So, you know, the market share question is not how we approach it. We look and see what is the opportunity relative to our customers, what is the opportunity relative to unmet needs, what's the opportunity relative to how we can position the brand better.
All right, that's helpful. My last question would be on the e-commerce contribution target for, let's say, next quarter or the next year.
So, you know, we definitely want e-commerce to stay on pace with our growth. As you know, Metro brands, brick and mortar stores are experiencing some very solid growth rates. We want, and also not only from a comparable basis, but also from a new store addition base. And we want e-commerce to keep that rate, the current rate of business at its, where it is. The one thing that we're very cognizant of is we don't want to grow e-commerce because of discounts. We don't want it to grow because we're able to discount product. We want it to grow selling full price products. And that's why we are very comfortable with where it is. We are making a lot of investments in technology to ensure that we're capable in multiple ways to capitalize on that market as it grows. But today what we're finding also is that the consumers like to do a lot of research online and shop in store.
Okay, thank you so much. That was very helpful.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Ankit Kedia from Phillip Capital. Please go ahead.
Sir, two questions from my side. First is on the Fila business. How much of the old inventory of Fila is still there with us? And, why is the inventory liquidation taking time? Because discounting continues to be high on the marketplaces. And even on the gross margins, what we see this quarter also, we can see the gross margins lower than quarter three. So why can't the new launch be ahead of, December month?
So Ankit, if you see the inventory levels at cost for total inventory at CBL is around 50 crores. This is at cost. Obviously, the MRP will be significantly higher. you know, it's a process, right? Getting rid of the excess inventory. It's not like that you can liquidate everything at one go. There are various channels, various initiatives that are currently on. And as we explained earlier on the call, we expect, you know, good amount of liquidation to sort of happen over next 6 to 9 months. We will also take, you know, benefit of end of season sale that is going to start in Q2. That's somewhere around July, August period. So that's the progress. You know, we feel over next 6 to 9 months we should be able to liquidate good amount of excess inventory that we have within the ecosystem of CBL.
So. And that's why the buying for the next season, you know, the fresh positioning will come only from Q4 if we see that, you know, new fresh launch happening.
No, we will be interspersing product into the system as early as Q2, freshness in the product, right? So brand, people don't shop without seeing some freshness. Having said that, what we are talking about for Q4 is actually a repositioned brand. Clean up old inventory, clean up products that do not make sense for where the brand is headed. That's the positioning we're talking about in Q4. But, you know, we still have to buy products. We have about 25 dealer stores that are currently open and operating that we have to provide freshness and product to.
So my second question is regarding the A&P spends. You know, given that some of these global brands, other footwear brands have a high A&P spends if we study their financials. Metro standalone business has around 3-3.5% A&P spends. Do you think Fila with that kind of A&P spends can grow to your aspirations, or the A&P spends in interim couple of years could be much higher for Fila business?
So Ankit, you know, since it's a new brand, initially it may be slightly higher, but we expect it to be in and around 3-5% range. Also one important point that I want to highlight, Ankit, is once we have the repositioned Fila product in, we will be selling Fila from Metro Mochi ecosystem as well. So it's also a natural marketing that happens for any product that is listed on Metro Mochi MBO platform. So, you know, we'll be leveraging all avenues, online, .com website, e-commerce sales, digital marketing, sales via our MBO network. So we feel we should be comfortable with ad spend in and around that range. Obviously, over a period of time, we'll understand, but as of now, we feel that much, that range is, the range that I mentioned is comfortable.
Understood. And my last question is, you know, for Proline, given that we also have license for Proline with us today, and we have spoken a lot on Fila, what is the roadmap for that? Is Proline giving you a helping hand to understand the apparel business, which can be launched in Fila, or that will have a separate, you know, business unit to take care of, and, you know, the growth will have its own trajectory for Proline?
Right. So first of all, we actually own the Proline brand as opposed to license it. So in that acquisition with Gravitex, Proline came along with it, but we own that as an ownership of the brand. So we fully own the brand. We're capable of licensing it, sub-licensing it, and doing any category we want that the trademark is protected in. So that's number one. Number two, like every business we do, we've appointed a business head. It has its own design team, sourcing team, store ops team, marketing team, and we will continue to evaluate how best to leverage Proline. Our focus right now is to get Fila on its feet quickly.
Understood. Thank you and all the best, sir.
Thank you.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Anil Parekh from Centrum Broking Limited. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. The first question is, if you can throw some light on the like-for-like growth across our Metro and Mochi stores, because we have added almost 8-10% of CAGR store addition, so from FY19 to say FY23. So would it be fair to assume that our SSG growth would be somewhere ballpark around mid-single digits?
Akhil, so you know, we don't disclose SSG's growth separately, but you know, just to give you some perspective, if we see for Q4, our overall growth on a standalone basis was around 29%. Between last year to this year, we have seen store growth of around 18%. So broadly, you know, stores that you open, obviously you don't get 12 months revenue. So logically, you will assume that on an average 6 months revenue would have come. So that brings down that 18% number to 9%, and balance logically would be all organic growth that you got from the existing store network. So, you know, I hope that sort of answers the kind of growth that we have seen in last year. Even if you see versus FY20, we have seen growth, you know, Q4 growth was around 80-81% above that quarter's number. Though that quarter was slightly impacted on account of COVID starting in the second fortnight of March, but still it's a strong growth number of 80% growth that we've seen versus, you know, FY20 quarter, Q4 of FY20.
Got it. This is clear. So it's fair to assume that we have a decent, healthy SSG growth even as compared with the pre-pandemic year.
Yes.
Okay. My second last question is again on your Fila part. Some of the international brands, you know, have a very high salience of apparel into the total sales. So how does the current contribution for apparel in Fila stand at, and do we intend to change it if at all going forward?
So, you know, you're right. There are some athletic brands that have a high portion of apparel sales. You know, we anticipate that Fila would be more in line with a normal brand. And what I mean by a normal brand is, you know, something that it would hover between 20-25% in apparel. There'd be another 5-10% in accessories, and the rest would be footwear.
Okay. And do we have the ecosystem around the apparel, or we will be developing it?
We absolutely have the ecosystem around apparel. We just haven't done it before, but we're doing it right now. We have the talent. We have the warehouse that can pick and pack apparel pieces. So, you know, we do have that all built out.
Okay. Got it. That's all from my side, and best wishes for coming.
Thanks.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Vikas from Equirus Securities. Please go ahead.
Thank you so much for the opportunity. So one question with respect to our marketing spends. Can you quantify what was the amount of marketing spends for the full year, FY23?
It was around 3% of our revenue, so broadly around 55 to 60 crores on an annual basis, in and around that number.
And I believe large part of it will be in H2 only, correct? As mentioned in our presentation.
Yeah, H2 was slightly higher.
Oh. Sir, one question with respect to Fila. While we are definitely into the correction phase with our inventory and others, why are not we commenting with respect to store addition of the Fila side by side in FY24 itself?
I'm sorry, I can't hear your question, because why on with regards to the stores, what?
So I'm saying that while we are definitely into the supply chain corrections position for the Fila side, but why are we not talking about this more stores addition for the Fila from the current 25 number that we have?
So, you know, you got to get things right in order, correct? That's the absolute magic on how you can do things. We first have to liquidate old inventory. We have to close unprofitable stores, number two. And then we will grow Fila, correct. We will grow Fila in the new Upstart. I don't know if you remember this, but when we took Crocs, you know, we went down to 3 stores, I believe. We acquired 12, and we went down to 3 stores, and today we're at 200 stores with Crocs, roughly. So you typically want to close underperforming stores, get rid of the inventory, then start opening stores, both in terms of appearance and in product, that are where you want to take the brand.
Understood. And so one last question, with respect to only the gross margins for Fila, would that be significantly lower than our gross margins for our core brands?
No, because we fully expect Fila to be at or above, you know, gross margin perspective.
Sure, sir. Understood. Thank you so much, sir, for the call.
Thanks, Vikas.
Thank you. Next question is from the line of Sabyasachi Mukherjee from Bajaj Finserv Asset Management. Please go ahead.
Yeah, thanks for the opportunity. My first question is a bookkeeping one. So, Kaushal, can you give the rent number for FY23?
It is around 12 to 13% for on an overall basis.
Okay. Okay. Second question is on the revenue and EBITDA growth. So basically 18% revenue growth on a 3-year CAGR that we have done in FY 20 to 23. We expect to maintain similar pace. But with normalization of, certain cost items as you highlighted, and also some losses probably in, FY 24 from the Fila business, is it fair to say that our EBITDA growth or PAT growth will lag the revenue growth in the near term at least?
In the near term, that would have to be the implication, but in the long term, over an annualized period, like we said, we don't see any risk to the three numbers that we've shared, the gross margin, the EBITDA and PAT.
Also, just to highlight, if you see on a longer 10-year CAGR basis, our revenue growth was somewhere around 14-15% and our PAT CAGR has been somewhere close to 20%.
So FY24 will probably be a reset year and then FY25 onwards will kind of have that operating leverage play out and everything will fall into place. That is the broad idea.
I would call it a reset year for the corporation. I would call it a reset year for Fila, which of course will have an implication to us in the consolidated numbers. But we believe very strongly in our core business of Metro, Mochi, and Walkway. Number one, number two, Fila today is a very strong business, and we can quickly. And when I say quick, in retail, moving through things in 3 to 4 months is pretty fast because there is a long lead time for product in some of these cases. So, and whether it's real estate or whether it's product, there is some lag time. We would move through it very quickly. And, of course, it would continue to be dilutive to our business for the first two quarters of this year, but we have every aspiration to get that back right in line with the business.
Got it. Thank you. That's all from my turn and all the best.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Thank you very much. As there are no further questions, then I'll hand the conference over to the management for closing comments.
Thank you, Kapil. Thank you all for joining us today. We want to assure you that we are very excited about Fila. We are excited about our last year performance. We also understand our business well enough to know that it's on a steady state and will continue to perform and meet the expectations that we have. Thanks, everyone.
Thank you very much. On behalf of Nuvama Wealth, that concludes this conference. Thank you for joining us. You may now disconnect your lines. Thank you.
Thank you.